Hey everyone, it's Stunt Granny Audio. It's Jeremy and Kevin back after a 2-month hiatus for the NHL playoffs, which ended terribly. So, I just wish you could have heard the last 17 minutes that didn't get recorded.
No, really, this is Stunt Granny Audio 46A, since we did not record the first 18 minutes.
Which is good, because if you wanted to hear me freak out and listen to a grown man actually physically yelling at his laptop and threatening to throw it out a window, that would have been the show for you. So, luckily, that's all under control. So.
Our abbreviated talk about TNA, which hopefully we got out of our system and we can talk less about it and at least more about Raw and ECW,
yes.
I suppose.
I just updated my Facebook. See, I'm getting into this technology thing. So I just updated my Facebook saying, hey, we're recording. So
I bet you Nathan, Tim, and... It gives it likes this and
a thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up. I'm trying to think of Jordan.
Yes.
Jordan will probably give it a likes this also.
Yeah. All right. But anyways, God, what a fucking disaster this is gonna that was. Anyways, long story short, as Kevin and I were talking for the first part of this that no one will ever hear because my dumbass never hit the record button. So. You, let's see, you missed me using the word fuck over and over and over again. Cursing out Twitter. What else was there? Our lengthy conversation about Joe turning in TNA.
Yeah, our lengthy and not well organized.
Yeah. And then, oh.
Even as unorganized as we are, we usually keep some fashion of order.
Yeah, and then the other part, and this is, it's good that it didn't get recorded, because you were talking about something that was WWE related, and to be honest, I had no clue what you said. I was so perturbed with this Twitter account that I, that's why I said we just need to get refocused, because
okay.
I had no clue what you said, so.
Yeah.
All right, but we're going to do a WWE-centric show. Reason being,
shockingly,
yes. The reason being is Kevin pretty much covered Slammiversary during his live blog, so hopefully you read it, because that'd be a giant waste of time for you if no one did. So,
well, you know,
yeah,
we seem to still have a solid 300 plus coming to the site. we grew to a whole 451 hits the other day. Let's see if we can top the 500 mark at some
by 2012. and then the Mayans and Aztecs will come back and the world ends or something. All right, so anyways, basically, WWE is kind of the most perplexing company, I suppose you could say. Well, I mean, because supposedly they use the same writers for their shows. And
I don't think about that.
Yeah, and I've talked to Eric about this, and he's convinced, and I totally agree with him, that there are two sets, there are different writing teams, because you can't have the same person write SmackDown, or same people write SmackDown, that write Raw. Because SmackDown, to me, is the best wrestling show in, well, the country, because... I'm not going to judge, you know, I can't judge other countries' shows. But
yeah.
But wrestling-wise, I mean, SmackDown's great again. I mean.
Yeah, and I liked, John Morrison, Powell linked to it, John Morrison's interview on ESPN that was via WWE.com there.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the Raw versus SmackDown 2010. And, you know, he was just saying how they basically just have, like, the three veterans there. Morrison only mentioned Jericho and Edge.
Mm-hmm.
Along with, in the third in my book, it should have been, and I can't believe he didn't mention it, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, well, because you have to mention The Undertaker's name, that's why. I mean,
well, I don't think he didn't mention The Undertaker because
really?
He hasn't. Well, The Undertaker hasn't been on SmackDown since he moved over.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I think he did say something maybe about them keeping order in the locker
yeah.
room or something like that. But it didn't go beyond that. Like he didn't mention, but he just said that they have the younger, more athletic guys on SmackDown, and I agree with that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess you could say ECW, but the way ECW's been going, not so much. I mean, when the championship scramble matches, Mark Henry, Tommy Dreamer, Christian, Jack Swagger, and who's the fifth? Finley?
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of kills the youth part of that. But
And I don't know if we want to get to that now or later here.
All right.
Which is why I was hesitating there like a stuttering idiot.
Yeah, well,
isn't trying to pull a gold dust, but them going again with Kid and Bourne, not really upsetting because it's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But that's now their second match, as they haven't really had that much all at stake, and they haven't really built up that much, which is at least mildly disappointing. I really like both of those guys. And I don't know why. Well, I know why. They've kind of demoted Kid to a little bit, at least for the time being, until they realize that fucking David Hart Smith blows.
David Hart Smith is... He's only been doing this, 2 years? 3 years? And how many times has he been suspended? So, his learning curve is still pretty big. But
has he only actually been wrestling for that long?
Yeah, he hasn't been around doing this that long. And...
How long's Kid been around?
To be honest with you, I don't know.
Okay.
And my numbers on Smith may be off, but I think I'm pretty close. But
yeah, because I mean I don't know how many years Bourne spent in ROH there, but he's probably 2-3 years at this point. But I mean, fuck, he is just stupid, ridiculous, gifted. So
yeah,
it's kind of hard to even compare him to anybody.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying, though, about having Bourne and Kid just go out there, have a match, and be done. It was like, well, I would have rather, put some emphasis behind it, but ECW right now is really centered around, Dreamer, which is weird to say, but it really centered around the ECW title. And they've given Swagger, they've pulled Swagger back a little bit, which is okay.
Yeah.
This isn't one of those instances where anyone should complain. Because
he's
not a guy that's been doing this a while either. So you got plenty of years left in him. He's got the goofy lisp, and it'd be nice if he could lose it. But if he doesn't, oh well. Some people made a pretty good career out of having a lisp. So, and then eventually, Christian will move over to SmackDown or Raw. ECW is in a good position, and it's WWE's number two show for sure.
Yeah, Powell brought this up too in his review, and I think I agree. They would have more room. Like, I think they have enough of a roster now where they could probably do a little bit more, but considering that their third quarter hour is always Raw review,
yeah,
they end up giving them one less segment than...
Yes.
I don't know if they, because they seem to be getting away from that for a while, and I think that's what made ECW nice, is that they stopped doing the recap. Now that they moved that one match over to Superstars, they've brought that recap back more, I could be wrong, but I think they were at least shortening the Raw recap when they just had that hour and they hadn't had Superstars yet.
Well, but also Raw's been so action-packed in news. Ugh. But no, ECW, I don't have any complaints with, other than that they're bringing the Hurricane back.
I'll be fine with it if he went to the damned gym.
Yeah.
I understand he had a major injury. That's fine. If he needs to take a little bit longer to get into shape, and that's why they've kept him off TV, well, not off TV, but out of the ring, thank goodness. I mean, he's not a big guy.
Mm-mm.
And when you have a 15-pound gut on a guy that, you know, would look fat with a 2-pound gut,
yeah,
you know, yeah. I mean, Triple H, you know, maybe you ignore it a little bit sometimes just because he's such a big guy. I think I've made that comparison before, or I think I made that comparison when he first showed back up on SmackDown, actually. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, the bigger you are, maybe the more you can kind of hide a little bit of, you know, here or there. But when you're Shane Helms and you, or Gregory Helms, and you're not a big guy to start with, you can't really hide a whole lot of weight.
Well, and this is something I was going to bring up with Raw, with the Santino thing. Did somebody just learn how to edit? Because in the same week, we got the exact same situation. You had Santino leave the shot, all of a sudden Santino shows up. And it's nicely done. I'm not complaining about the technical aspect of it. But then on ECW, you have Shane Helms, or Gregory, God, fuck him, whatever, Helms is there, all of a sudden there's Hurricane, and then there's Helms again. And you're like, okay. I mean, it's like somebody just got a second bay and decided, hey, look what we can do with digital. I mean, with not even bays anymore, but just look, you can cut this and put this here, and it's seamless. And it's what I mean.
Yeah.
What college intern is working and doing this stuff?
With the Helms one, they really could have gotten away with that by using somebody else, you know, and just dressed them up in a costume.
Yeah, someone with muscles and a tan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even muscles, just athletic. I mean, it looked weird. I don't know.
Yeah, just as long as the guy didn't have tattoos, they really could have gotten away with it.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was one thing.
Oh, no, he does
just
have that ginormous one on his back now, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he's got a shirt on. He had that, the coat on as well.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I mean,
no,
unless it was somebody else.
Yeah. But no, if he's back in the Hurricane gimmick, putting that on probably is not going to hurt either. I was not terribly impressed by his choice of tattoos.
Well, the Hurricane gimmick makes total sense because they're putting it back to a PG rating and marketing kids. Well, what better way to market kids than bring back your resident superhero?
Yep.
And there you go, because Hurricane sold a shitload of merchandise. So... And especially with the Green Lantern movie supposed to come out next year, it's no better time than now to start the train rolling. So,
woo woo.
Yeah. All right. But anyways, we'll go to Raw. Just back up. Go to Raw. And I think, and this was the example I used the first go around. This is where it stands out that SmackDown just has the better talent, and they know what to do. And that was a six-man match? And I know I should know this, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a six-man match, and then you had the champion on commentary. And the champion of SmackDown is so suave and so with it, he put over a bucket of chicken and made the bucket of chicken pretty much the star of the show after that. I mean, he sits down, and they're in the middle of a match. He's calling, he looks, and then you don't see it, which would have been great, because I would have loved to have seen what he did with his hands or whatever. And he goes, what's with the chicken? And I'm like, wait a minute, did he just interrupt him to put over some chicken? And then they say what it is. He goes, oh, okay. And then out of the blue, can I have some? I mean, right there, that's he put over a bucket of chicken more so than Triple H has put over anybody in years.
Well, and he put over that bucket of chicken better than anybody did before that when they were blatantly advertising
it. Yes,
you know, because Cole, and I think Cole, or no, I think Ross and Grisham had just, you know, done the commercial for the chicken, like, right before that, that whole match started. So he made that far more entertaining.
Yeah, and it was just a deadpan delivery of it. So what's with the chicken? He didn't ham it up, nothing. I mean, it was, like, genuine. Like, the hell's this doing here?
Yeah, he just had... He at least had enough of a smarmy smirk. You're like, oh, my Lord.
Yeah. And the part that really cracked me up was when he asked if he could have some, because that was on camera. And then they didn't say anything. Like, what the fuck
they
is
were
he
just,
asking?
They were just so confused.
Yeah. And he goes, ah, and just, like, blows the chicken off. And you're like, wait a second. Yeah. But as
yeah.
that show went on, can you imagine how nasty that chicken probably got?
Oh.
Just, I mean, if it wasn't caramelized and, like, you know, like fake fruit or something.
Yeah, it was actually just fake chicken the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, that, because that would have been hard to resist, like, I
There's
mean.
There's no way I'd resist that shit. If someone puts
yeah.
a bucket of chicken in front of me, that shit's getting eaten.
Yeah, I mean, I might not finish it, but at some point during the broad, well, of course, they did switch, was that the, that was the only SmackDown match, though, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. With no well. Explanation whatsoever, but, okay.
They did give it some explanation, didn't they? Like, they had invited him over or some bloody
Yeah,
like
Punk
that.
Said that they invited him over. And I was like, why? But, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, you know.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, at least they acknowledged that it wasn't, you know, the SmackDown match
yeah.
was just there for no good reason.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
I mean, it was
they,
there for no good reason. I mean,
well,
didn't really...
it was there. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Except for the, all right. Except for the finale of it, when Punk got in the ring, because it looked like he was going to hit Hardy. And I was like, oh, cool. And then just let it go. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
So they're not quite sure what they want to do with him yet. And I thought that was pretty cool. It adds
yeah.
another dimension to the character, into the feud, well, the mini feud, whatever you want to call it. So, but those are the little things that they don't do on Raw. I mean, you've
yeah.
got, I don't know, there's no conflict. I mean, on SmackDown, you've got ex-champion Edge comes out and basically punks out John Morrison, or tries. I wasn't all that thrilled with Morrison's rebuttals most of the time with Edge.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it made him seem
like he's still working into things. I liked them for the most part. I didn't think they're spectacular, but... I think he's still finding his way a little bit as a face.
Yeah.
Since he's been a heel for so long.
Ugh. Yeah. And no, I mean, that's a definite. But then they go out and Edge showed some serious ass in that match and made John Morrison look like $1 million. And Morrison held his end up too. So don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't all Edge. But. But that's the kind of stuff that you see and go, that shit should be on Raw.
Well,
I mean,
not even that, but it just that example right there shows you one of the major differences between Raw and SmackDown is that the top heel let himself be beat down by an up-and-coming guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, and they've mentioned it already, the decade of decadence. I mean, I honestly can't believe I've been watching Edge for 10 years now.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's just like, holy fuck, I remember when he debuted. Like, it's just like, it's getting to that point. Like, I've been rewatching wrestling for that long now.
Yeah, I know. Don't
it's
think
like,
of it that way, though.
Shit.
Yeah, don't think how long it's been, or just make you kind of sad, actually. So.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, I mean, he's been around long enough that maybe he'd be able to say, you know, fuck off, I don't really want to do this. But that is, I mean, Triple H is not even doing that barely for Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm. He's not,
you know,
doing it for Randy Orton.
You know, and
I mean,
well, he kind of let him roll in the match on Monday there.
Yeah, but that was only after every time he shows up, he beats the shit out of him. And his
yeah.
two friends. And then he finally, you know, it was a fluke. He got kicked in the head. So,
yeah.
It's people will make the argument Triple H, you know, knows is smart about the business. Well, isn't like the evil person he's portrayed to be. But it's no coincidence the guy's gone forever. I mean, he's gone for what, since Backlash?
Yeah,
and then,
a month and a half, 2 months, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and then shows up and beats up everybody. And it's like, oh, Christ. And I think Eric said, he's like, well, here we are right back to January. I'm like, yeah, pretty much. I mean, this sucks.
Yeah, and plus, like, it seemed for a while there that he was getting his shit in order. You know, like, maybe he still wasn't putting him over as much as Edge was on SmackDown, per se, but he was at least... being more tolerable, but it's honestly like, you know, yeah, he takes 2 months off, and I'm back to the fuck. Seriously? Hunter's back? Or, I mean, like, already. It's only been, like, 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
Exactly, yeah.
Whatever the fuck. It's just like, jeez.
Well, I wonder if it would be different if Batista was around. But, you know, big dummy can't stay healthy. So.
Well, yeah, if he stops taking roids, or stops allegedly taking roids.
Or whatever. Yeah, cause, well, I mean, if what Kevin, for those who forgot, what Kevin's referring to is that was the big controversy was, did he actually hurt his bicep, or did he fail a wellness policy test?
Oh, and, no, that's not what I'm referring to.
Well, I'm covering your ass, so shut up. So
I said allegedly.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Or you can say oops at the end. I think that was the other thing we're allowed to do.
No, so. It's that's what covers all the bases for both Opie and Anthony and Jason Ellis. You just have to say allegedly.
That's true. That's true.
If they can get away with it on a fucking major satellite TV program, I'm guessing we'll be okay
it'd
with
be a radio
like the,
program.
With the 200 maybe people that listen to this goddamn thing.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to report us to the FCC.
Yeah, well, Cole Cabana, though, is stealing your...
stealing my shit.
Yeah.
How about that? Like, that's why I wanted to write that today. I didn't get around to it. Because that was one thing. The one decent part of Raw, and I don't care about the cartoony offense, but, you know, the other thing, and this is a difference that's going to bring up, too, between SmackDown and Raw, like, there just aren't that many people that cut good promos on Raw. John Cena, I don't know, maybe you still don't like his ring work, that's fine. You know what? He's finally cut out the poop and dick jokes for the most part. You know, he might crack one every now and again now, but he very rarely uses them, and he's usually just to the point, I kind of want to kick your ass promos now.
Well, that's what he did
overall,
Monday.
Overall, Raw is lacking that kind of promo, you know, for the most part, you know, outside of him, but like CM Punk can cut a decent promo, Edge can. Even John Morrison, even though he's still finding his way, he's decent. They keep on putting Rey Mysterio. He's still not very good, but they keep on putting him in a decent setup so that he can deliver a short, decent Rey Mysterio fucking promo. And Jericho is fucking gold. Edge. Did I already mention Edge?
Probably. I think
but anyway, Edge is good, too. It's just, you know, like, there are more guys overall that do a good, you know, not just in the ring, but just on the mic. Like, when does Big Show ever talk? And Helmsley?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? He had, like, his little love scene with Orton at the end there this
week? How uncomfortable was that? I mean, honestly, we're not homophobes or anything, but I seriously was like, is this... I mean, what was that? I don't... I mean,
I thought he was trying to rape him as he put him into the trunk there. I'm
that
like,
was
seriously?
So awkward. It wasn't intimidating or anything.
I felt like I was watching Pulp Fiction again there.
Well, I just watched, I think it's Tuya Matambian or something like that, and... If you haven't seen it, basically these two guys start macking this girl at the end. I'm leaving out, like, the actual plot. And then the two guys, like, keep getting closer and closer and start kissing. And then they end up all three having sex. And I'm just like, wow, this took an odd turn. And that's what was going on Monday. I mean, all right. Hunter should
have
come up.
You have what you think is the show-closing moment with Miz standing over John Cena.
Yeah.
You know, they've already had Orton and Triple H have already had a knockdown, drag-out fight. Vince McMahon gives the big, the ultimatum or whatever, the match stipulations to Orton. And then, they just, like, tack on that 2 minutes or whatever the fuck it was right at the end of the show. It's like, what the hell? Like, I wasn't even expecting anything to be airing at that point.
Yeah. And it should have been 90 seconds. So they could have cut out the part where Hunter's trying to, like, skull fuck Orton with his eye. Ugh! That was so uncomfortable, man. I mean, and I've seen some weird shit in my life. That was uncomfortable. I mean, and all joking aside, I seriously expected like Hunter to like give him a little kiss, like not on the lips or anything, but just like on the forehead and be like, "We'll see you Sunday." Like, what? Why are you that close?
I just could have seen him with a longing lick straight up the side of his face to lick the sweat off of him.
Yes. I can taste your fear, boy, and walk away or something. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. But I mean, the, going back to the Hunter thing, though, and that's included, like, it's almost like he doesn't get it. Like, it's, that stuff's not intimidated. And he's famous for the nose-to-nose confrontation thing. I mean, every single feud he does that, and it's like, okay, we get it. But yeah,
we get it. You have a big nose.
Yeah,
great.
I mean, that's okay. So that's protecting you. Okay, I get it. But no, I think Orton does a fine job, and it would be nice if Orton was going with somebody who was willing to give. I mean, and I honestly don't think Hunter wants to give anything. He wants to maintain his spot on the show when. And this is how the wrestling works, and that's just something we all understand. But damn, man, it's you got to give up because the legacy, and I'm talking about Priceless, whatever you want to call them now.
No, it's the legacy. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they're not taken seriously at all. I mean, they're fighting for the tag team championships. Well, is it one?
No.
Is it one or both? I'm confused.
They are so retarded. It's just pissing me off. Because they keep on calling it the unified title. So shouldn't it just be one belt?
Yeah, by
but
now.
The clones keep on wearing both belts.
Okay.
And they even made an allusion on Monday, I think, that there's still the possibility that some way they can become ununified.
Yeah, if depending on which one they put... Okay, I know what you're getting at, yeah.
No. They didn't say it directly. Like, they did not say it directly, but I think King said something about them becoming ununified or something like that. I'm like, so does that mean they're carrying around both sets of gold just because they feel like if they... Like, they don't give a shit about tag team wrestling. Like, having them on all three shows is perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Super... Or, you know, I don't care if it's, Priceless... Or, the colognes. Like, that's fine. You know, there really aren't enough tag teams. And if they just have them feuding on one brand or the other, you know, once a month, fine. You know, switch them between the three brands every month.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you're going to have somebody that can go between shows, those aren't the two guys that should be doing it. Or the three shows, I should say. It shouldn't be the colognes. I really don't like them. I don't care for them. I don't find their act funny. I don't find their in-ring work any good either. I wouldn't mind seeing Legacy, you know, actually win these things and have them going all over the place because it would expose them more, hopefully in a good way. It would give them time to go to ECW, fight the Hearts, go to SmackDown against, are there any tag teams on SmackDown? And I'm being dead serious. I don't think there are.
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
So there's no reason to go SmackDown then, but...
But I mean, they seem to put together a team every now and again, you know, like everybody does.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I think that they'll end up showing up with a tag team at some point.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I mean, that would be in the future. I'm not, I don't mind the clones, but they don't... You know, it's just because they haven't put anything into the tag team division, even now that they have kind of an easy route to go. Like, oh, you know who SmackDown has? Crime Time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they were on with,
The other R-Truth.
K-Quick, but...
R-Truth, right?
Yeah, R-Truth.
Yeah, I kind of block him out when he's on. You got the world's greatest tag team.
Who Jim Ross said was not going to stay together, but they are almost clearly together at this point. Because I swear I don't see one. Oh, well, the only time I saw one without the other was when they were wrestling singles matches against R-Truth.
Okay, so I guess them. But I think having Legacy with the belts gives Raw something else if they would dedicate time to the wrestlers on Raw. And it's understood, and everything we're saying is with the understanding that Vince McMahon considers Raw to be his entertainment show now. Why? I have no clue. And he keeps calling Raw the flagship. Raw's the franchise. Raw's, whatever. But then you look at it and you're like, what the fuck is this? I'm not one of these guys that subscribes to the fact McMahon hates wrestling and wants to get rid of it totally, on his shows. I think that was blown out of proportion years ago.
Well, and plus, they still deliver on the pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. Yes. They have been, at least.
There is very little entertainment on the pay-per-view, so he obviously knows that, it's not... that they don't need to do it all the time, on the TV show.
I know you didn't mean it this way, but I liked how you said there's very little entertainment on the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think in the context,
entertainment segments.
People, yeah, the entertainment segments. I hope people know what I was talking about.
Yeah. But no, and I think that's the difference. SmackDown has people who compliment each other, and I'm not saying there's not politics, I'm not saying guys aren't trying to keep their spot, but I think there's a general happier medium on SmackDown than there is on Raw, where Raw has its top players and then everybody else, where SmackDown's got its top players and then pieces of the puzzle, or bricks in this wall.
Yeah.
It's the top isn't squashing the bottom, where Raw is, the top guys are going, oh, fuck you guys on the bottom. And that's why Miz fighting Morrison on a pay-per-view is astonishing. And I don't think enough has been made of that. That is astonishing. Because that should have been a TV feud and been done.
What, that it hasn't been done?
What I'm saying is the fact that that match is actually going to be on a pay-per-view is astonishing. Because it's this Sunday. Miz versus Morris Miz versus Cena is this Sunday.
You kept on saying Miz versus Morrison.
An idiot that can't keep his name straight. Remember, I did that to you at work too.
Oh yeah, same actually.
Yes.
Same thing.
Oh my God, sorry.
I
guess I'm just so used to them being together. So.
Yeah, no, those are the only two guys doing good mic work on Raw are Miz and Cena.
Yeah.
And that's why that's been far more, that whole thing has been far more entertaining than anything that Cena did with the Big Show.
Yes, and what you were saying about Cena's promo Monday, I really liked it because he was serious. And not in like a, I'm taking a serious, I'm taking no, blah, 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 blah. He showed a cockiness. He showed a confidence. He didn't come out and go, well, all shucks, Big Show's a big wrestler. He could hurt me and all this. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that from my favorite babyface wrestler or something. I want to hear that, yeah, I'm going to come out there. I'm going to kick your teeth in. Or whatever he told Morrison or Miz. Jesus Christ, man. If John Cena applied that to all of his interviews, because you didn't have Hulk Hogan sitting there, and yes, I'll use that parallel. You didn't have Hulk Hogan sitting there going, oh boy, that King Kong Bundy, he's a big man, he could hurt me real bad and all this, but no. Hogan said...
He's really cut that out a lot, though. And I think that's a point that I was trying to get to, is that it has that promo on Monday isn't just the first time in a while thing. He's been in that mode for a couple of months now. I have really enjoyed his promos, for a couple of months. Now, I even think I mentioned it back around WrestleMania time.
Yeah, but he still portrays himself almost like an underdog sometimes. He was still doing that with the Big Show. They would say, yeah, you're going to do this in a submission match. And he just saw his body language and was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? Whereas, like, your baby faces are supposed to be confident,
well,
you know?
Yeah, well, maybe I've not been watching his promos, you know, against the Big Show or something. But outside of that, I think he's been doing a really,
yeah,
really good job.
But I don't know. But outside of them, though, you're exactly right. And it's just another separation for Raw. And, I mean, they give Goldust talking time. Unless they decide that, you know, Dustin's in a position where they can use him better, fine. If not, I don't want to hear him talk. I mean, sorry. I want to hear the guys who are going to be around, who are going to be used to sell me a pay-per-view, not a guy who's just back there for backstage comedy. I mean, I don't know if Goldust, in all seriousness, if Goldust can be taken seriously at all anymore. I really don't.
Well, they're not even trying, though. I mean, they haven't put him in the ring at all. It's been all backstage segments aside for, because did he even get a match against The Miz after he punked him out?
No.
Or did he just get that quick ass kicking?
I think that was just that quick thing. Well, wait, didn't he have like a match or something later? I don't remember.
Yeah,
but anyway,
still, he's been on TV maybe once during this whole run of comedy skits that he's had.
Yeah, so, do we even want to talk about McMahon and Trump? I mean,
not really.
Yeah,
I didn't even end up physically watching it because I heard most of it on Opie and Anthony, and they were just. They love it when it's so bad that, you know, they can just really go to town on it. And plus, Patrice O'Neill was on.
Yeah, who used to write for WWF.
Who helped write some of The Rock's most famous promos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even he was like, this is dumb. I mean, and I didn't understand any of that. And it was funny to hear, like, for us who follow it, you know, closely, whatever you want to call it, for us to sit here and say, this doesn't make sense, is one thing, because we like to think, you know, we know inner workings. We like to think, you know, all this other stuff. But when you get laymen who just watch the show on just a watch the show sort of basis, don't get into the backstage part. And they even say, this doesn't make any sense. That should be, that's a telltale sign that something's bad.
No, they're they're more like the target fans in that, when it's popular, they're watching, and it's usually because, shockingly, the writing is good, or at least the wrestling is good, one of the two. And, you know, it's just been terrible, so they haven't really watched that much. And, you know, when something this big does get brought up, you know, yeah, you're exactly right. You know, they just kill it. Like, you know, it's not like, yeah, we're not the only ones that see this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
we're just the ones dumb enough to keep on watching it and bitching about it.
Yeah, but what was rightfully pointed out in this whole thing, Trump buying Raw doesn't make a bit of goddamn sense. It's a TV show. I know they try and portray it as a brand, but it's still a brand under the auspices of WWE or, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment. Well, if he buys the brand, wouldn't it fall under Trump Enterprises then? Or whatever his company name is? And therefore, McMahon shouldn't have to worry about losing money at all. Shouldn't worry about ad revenue. Shouldn't worry about him giving tickets away for free. You know what I mean? McMahon should have been like, oh, well, you want to lose money on it, feel free and go ahead. I mean, I didn't understand the business dealing of it.
Yeah, no, well, it made no sense whatsoever. I mean, you know, you would think they would have had some agreement that he would have had to have given them X amount of money.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so if he did, and you know, as you pointed out there, you know, if he decided to give away everything that he had for whatever goddamn reason, he really should have been able to.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
So long as he was giving McMahon the money that, you know, the deal called for, it's just like, who gives a shit what the hell you do?
Right.
Yeah, no, the resale made absolutely no sense, you know.
Yes. But
yeah, I'm sure it was just a handshake kind of a deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, when your stock drops the day after you announce you're selling it to Donald Trump, and your investors and your board of directors, I think, panic because they're not smart enough to realize it's a fucking angle or a story, and you have to pull the plug on it quick. These sort of things will happen. So, yeah. But no, it's and I guess that's the refreshing thing about SmackDown is you don't have this bullshit on that show. It's feuds, it's angles, it's the storyline, the show's over. I mean,
and the, you know, Teddy Long, you know, what can you say bad about that guy? You know what he does? He comes out, makes a decision every now and again, fucking hides in the back. Like,
yep.
He has become the perfect general manager.
Yeah.
Like, that's what all general managers should be like. They should show up maybe once every blue moon, you know, make
yeah.
a big decision when the big guys are bitching, and then, you know, get the fuck out of
yeah.
the way.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we've been calling that for a long time. That's what the GM should do. And even I think Dusty pointed out a long time ago, what kind of GM is at every show anyways? And I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, you got a point there too. I mean, you make the card, you do it. And if they keep being a problem, that's when you show up, just like kind of what you said. Just show up to intervene.
Yep.
Yeah. But no, it's just Raw is just painful. And I told you I was going to start – I'm going to try and start doing this as we wrap today's show up. I'm going to start doing the 10 things I learned for each show. For ECW, I'm not doing one. Superstars, I'm not doing one. I'm not doing 10 things in an hour. But when I watched Raw, I couldn't think of anything. I mean, I was just so put off by it, I didn't feel like writing anything about it. I mean, not even the old adage, you know, if you got nothing good to say, don't say it at all or whatever. I just couldn't believe how utterly dumb it was.
Yeah.
And another thing, if you think that Raw was commercial-free Monday, you're an idiot. Just because they didn't go to standard commercial breaks doesn't mean there weren't advertisements all over that thing. The bucket of chicken would be the biggest one. So, they say commercial free. Well, sure, there's no commercial breaks per se, but it sure wasn't. It sure wasn't commercial free though. but
yep,
I don't know.
I knew they'd sneak in product
oh,
placement.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm surprised they didn't do. And you know, was it only the 1 week that TNA did that, or maybe I just noticed it? Because they put the six-hour energy in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, you missed it. That's been on there the last 3 weeks.
Okay, well, yeah, I did miss last week's show, so that's part
okay.
of it.
Okay, yeah.
I obviously missed it the first week it was there then.
Yeah, well, you know how their tapings go. So if it's there during the tapings, it'll be there for
yeah.
next 2 to 3 weeks. So
that is true.
All right.
So, yeah, I'm almost surprised they didn't do something like that, really, on Raw this Monday.
Well, but I guess if you do it that way, then it's stuck in the show. So if you ever want to pull, like, matches off of the broadcast and put them on a DVD or something, you're not giving free advertising away to somebody?
Yeah.
Sort of. I mean, that's the first thing that popped in my head, so. But enough of this yibber-yabber. I think it's time for us to hit the road. I didn't clear this with Dusty and Eric, but oh well. Starting Monday, we actually do have... We're actually going to start Twittering. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, as soon as I figure out what screen I have it on...
And we are going to try and put updates up there when we post new stories.
Yep.
New audios, whatever, and we'll try to send some information out. And we might even, if we get adventurous, do more smart-assy comments during the shows themselves.
Yeah.
And save the longer analysis for, you know, the audio is still here since we are out of our 2-month funk period.
Yep. And basically, I'm also can use it for just fun shit, like the Red House video from YouTube. If you're a member of the PW Torch forum, I posted it over there.
Did you?
Yes, because the commercial's fucking hilarious. So, basically...
Oh, the Red House. I'm sorry, what the fuck?
The Red House.
Yeah.
I'm a black man.
I'm a white man.
This bed is perfect for a white person. And a black person. for those of you who don't know, I'll try and Twitter it today through Stunt Granny. That's another thing we can use, just, if anything, to give you a better view of our personality and what we find funny or annoying or whatever. So non-wrestling related stuff we can put up there as well. So, but to follow us on Twitter, our name is actually Stunt Granny, just Stunt Granny. Capital S, no spaces, just Stunt Granny. So feel free and join up on Twitter and follow us so we can have followers and hopefully give us a little better idea of who actually comes to our site, all of you. So, that's a lot of that will start Monday, but I'll try and figure out how to post this video through Twitter because I'm new at this. So don't hold me to it. So I'm going to get the fuck out of here because we've talked way too long. So good night, kids. And have fun.
Yep. Well, it is time to go and celebrate the U.S.'s 2-0 win over Spain.
Yeah, fucking fantastic was that.
Yeah, I just got done watching it here when we were
wow.
doing this.
Crazy.
And since Jeremy brought it up for the end of the...
I'm cutting this part off if you even bring it up. I will edit this shit right out as if it never happened because
okay.
It shouldn't have. You fucking Gary Bettman jerking himself off, handing that thing to that piece of shit. And fucking Malkin's fat fucking mother. Fuck him. Hey, at least the governor of the state I play and live, hey, is fucking some Brazilian or Argentinian chick. That's pretty sweet. So I got that to distract me now. So.
Okie doke. Time to drink a Yingling, kids. Let's celebrate. Stunned Granny's back.